This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Grab that cuppa and sit down for Conversations with the Mayor. Join in now as Taran speaks with our region's leaders.
Morena and welcome to Conversation with a Mayor on Access Radio Taranaki. My name is Taran and today we are here with Neil Holdham, the wonderful Mayor of the New Plymouth District Council. Kia ora, Neil, how are you?
Kia ora, very good. Pleased to be here.
Well, thank you very much for stopping in to talk to us, especially on a short week when we've got Matariki on Friday, or Pōanga as it is known in Taranaki.
Yeah, look, it's going to be really exciting. Looking forward to having everybody come into town, and I haven't checked the forecast yet, but I think someone said to me there's no such thing as bad weather, only inappropriate clothing. So looking forward to seeing everybody come out and enjoy themselves.
Yes, there are some phenomenal lights in this year's lineup, isn't there?
Yeah, no, it's gonna be good, and I think it's for the little ones, it's almost a bit better for than the Festival of Lights in summer, because they don't have to wait so late for it to get dark. I mean, basically it'll be dark by 6 o'clock, which really brings that impact of the light displays. So can't wait.
Yes, I as a parent of a five-year-old, I completely agree with that. I very much enjoy taking Fox to the lights in the middle of winter, because we can be home and in bed by about 7:30, which is not the case during the Festival of Lights. Although it is worth the late night, it's not too kind on parents the next morning.
Indeed.
And it's also nice to have something that's in the CBD, to have something that brings that vibrancy to town in the middle of winter. Lots of live music, those beautiful fires, beautiful art displays, real community event, which is, of course, what Matariki or Pōanga is all about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, our team, they just go from strength to strength, but it's obviously, it was kind of a response to... we had to cancel Festival of Lights in that kind of COVID time period, and trying to figure out a way that we could make up for that. And they came up with this innovation, and then it's well loved by the community. And as I say, I think it'll just continue to grow, and it is great to bring everybody together in the middle of winter.
It is indeed good for the soul. Now, this week I wanted to talk to you about a trailblazing mayor many years before you, who's left quite the legacy in New Plymouth, in the New Plymouth District Council, and that is the wonderful Daisy Lane.
Yeah, so I, along with hundreds of other people, attended the memorial service for Daisy out at Butler's Reef. On Thursday, and it was a brilliant send-off, some wonderful stories, and his amazing wife Janet, who's a good friend, and children and grandchildren really celebrating a life well lived. And if I think back to some of the great achievements that were marked at the event, so probably the one that really that started his political career was this. Back in the day, they used to have big underground tanks where all of our sewage would build up, raw sewage during the day, and then at high tide in the evening they would just open the floodgates and raw sewage would flow out the back of Bunnings. And if you're on the Fort Hill Way, you can look out there and see the old pipes. And Daisy led the charge to say, hey, this isn't good enough, and he was elected, and they held a referendum, and it won quite narrowly, but it won, and they to put in the carousel, which is an amazing it's a piece of technology that serves us so well, and they built the carousel out at Rifle Range Road. I think looking back, they put through about a 38 or 39% rate increase that year to fund it. But
worth it.
Since then, They, you know, if you you look at other things that he did, he's, you know, so it was celebrated, his life was this connection to water as a keen surf club participant and then leader, coach. And so went on and spent, I think, almost 40 years in the regional council. But he also, they jumped in their IRBs and he led a team and they circumnavigated New Zealand in IRBs, a quite challenging physically and quite dangerous at times effort, but they did it, and that they raised several hundred thousand dollars towards what is now known as the TSB Stadium up at the racecourse.
Yes. Yeah.
But also champions changes in water, river quality and water quality. So on the TRC, they, you know, they were an early adopter of this concept of riparian planting, getting people to plant out on the edges of rivers and streams to protect the health of those waterways, to ultimately not just improve river and stream health, but the water going into the ocean. Was all the Tasman Sea to improve that quality. So, look, too many achievements for me to cover in a brief chat, but also was quite instrumental in town planning in terms of laying the platform for significant investments in the CBD, like Centre City, the warehouse, a number of the supermarkets in town. So he worked quite closely with Kinsley Sampson, who was the CEO of the time, and Kinsley regaled us with some great stories about the deals that were done, and then, you know, even I think towards the end of his tenure as mayor, they built this building and this office that I sit in. So a person that got a lot done and well loved and celebrated by this community.
Absolutely. There's been some very nice stories about Daisy shared over the last week or so, and a beautiful obituary in the newspaper from Virginia Winder, and a lot of people sharing his history, saying what he means to them, what he's achieved in our community. And it's really nice to have those positive stories reflected back at someone who's done such great things. And as someone who didn't know that we used to pump our waste out to sea, I am mortified and horrified that that happened to our natural environment, and incredibly grateful for people like Daisy who make the hard decisions, make those big rates increases so that we can have a beautiful town to live in.
Yeah, and as I say, it was a great send-off on Thursday, and we and council's quite understated about these things, but we dropped the flag to half mast on Thursday afternoon, and we will obviously be we've got a first full council following his passing is on the 24th, and so we will be marking his service to community at the start of that meeting as well, just to show our respect.
That's good. The Taranaki Regional Council had their first full council meeting a couple of days after his passing, so they did their moment of silence then, and I'm pleased to hear that you guys will be doing it at your first meeting after his passing as well. Definitely well deserved.
Absolutely.
Now, you were talking before about his love for water and championing all things water related in Taranaki, and we have some big water projects on at the moment. We've all councils have gone out for Water Done Well consultation and had feedback from that, and we also have in New Plymouth are out for consultation about the water charging options. So I wanted to firstly go over feedback that was received for Water Done Well. What did you hear from the community?
Look, I haven't actually seen the report covering it off. We had quite a low turnout. So traditionally, like for an annual plan or a long-term plan, when we go out for public consultation, we get sort of 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 submissions. So I think we got less than 300.
Wow.
So I read an article in the newspaper that captured that both South Taranaki and Stratford, most of the feedback that they got was proposed, basically seeking the status quo to keep things yes. in-house.
Yeah.
So, look, we'll go through that. Our meeting is not until the 22nd of July, so management will be grinding through the submissions and preparing a report for us. And I think we've got hearings coming up in a couple of weeks. So we'll sit down and read those submissions and then listen to the people that want to come in. I think there's quite a few people coming in to speak to their submissions and then make their decision on the 22nd of July. And I think by then we'll know what both Stratford and South Taranaki have decided to do.
Yes.
But yeah, the draft position was that we felt that we would be better working together. And I note that people in South Taranaki are, and I think particularly there are, they have a number of rural water schemes there where people attached to those farm schemes get water at a much lower cost than their city counterparts. And one of the reasons for that is because back in the day they paid either some or all of the costs to develop the networks and then handed them over to the council, which has been maintaining and operating them since.
Oh, so, right.
So a lot of the resistances are concerned that they will have to pay the same as their city counterparts or town counterparts.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, whether we end up with a regional water entity or just the status quo, those people will eventually have to pay the same rates because the networks cost the same to maintain and operate. So,
yeah.
But look, we'll let them run their process and then we'll run ours once we've got a view of what they're doing and everybody will know what the plan is by the 23rd of July because we will have made a decision.
And perfect. So we'll chat about that again next time we have a kōrero. The other one that's out for consultation at the moment about water is the water charging rates. Can you talk us through what that is and why people should care about it?
Yeah, sure. So we've put water meters in and we're nearly finished the rollout. I think we're about 85% of the way through. So it should be just about finished by the end of the year. And in a nutshell, right now, if your household is connected to water, you're paying an annual charge of $570-odd a year.
Mm.
Now, if you've one person living in a small apartment, you're paying $571 a year. If you're living in a 5-bedroom mansion with, you know, extensive gardens and a swimming pool and a sprinkler system, you're paying $571 a year. Once with meters, one, the first thing is you can use them to find leaks on people's properties because they go, well, I've turned everything off and I'm still using water. So that one yes. helps us find
You've
leaks.
You've been quite successful with that, I've heard. There's yep, already yep. been some.
We've found some monster leaks. One of them in Fitzroy, I think, was 36,000 litres a day, which is, you know, that's enough for sort of 30-odd households. And yeah, some big ones out at Ocado. So you can yeah. find the leaks, but then the other thing is you can allocate the costs and more efficiently and fairly, really. And so what we're doing is saying, well, we've got a range of options on how we can charge. And if you think about it at the moment, it's one size fits all. So everybody mm-hmm. pays the same. What we want to do with meters is actually send price signals that encourage people to conserve water. And we know that other councils that do what's called volumetric charging, so you charge by volume. Yep. Auckland and Tauranga have been able to reduce water consumption from the average household by between 20% and 30%.
Wow, that's huge.
So if you think, so at one end of the spectrum, everybody pays the same no matter what. At the other end of the spectrum, you pay for every litre you use.
Mm.
And so that's fully variable charging. But what you can do somewhere in the middle is say, let's just say we charged $100 a year as a fixed component, because even if you use hardly any water, we've still got to connect to your property and service that.
Yeah.
So out of that $100, we might say, hey, we'll give you 100 litres a day as part of that $100 you're paying. And then for every leader that you use over that wheel charge. And at the moment, I think all businesses are on water meters, and they pay about $2.10 or $2.15 per 1,000 litres.
Oh, wow.
And so, and if you think about it, the average house uses about 300 litres per person per day. What we know is, so we're just asking people their views. Generally, if we introduce some form of volumetric charging, even with a small fixed component, for more than half of people, their water charges will go down. They'll be below the average. And then those high water users, they will go up. And so it's just really seeking the views of people, what they want to do. And what we'll do is, once we've reviewed all of that, council will make a decision on pricing. But this is the thing, we'll still charge people the same for a year. We'll charge everybody the same, but we'll send them bills as if we've adopted whatever pricing methodology we do. So they get used to looking at a bill every 3 months. They get used to seeing what their water consumption is. They've got a year to sort out any leaks, maybe change some washers and taps and things, and maybe change some of their habits. And then after a year of people receiving these bills, which are called a dry bill, because it doesn't actually, it's just giving you the information, but you don't actually have to pay it. Then by then, at the end of that, then they'll be introduced as the charges based on the feedback we get. So there's plenty of time. And I think the idea is we do this consultation, we'll make a decision, make a determination how to proceed. And then people have got a year to get used to it, and potentially there's room for more fine tuning. But the goal is that we teach people that the more that you use, the more that you will pay, and encourage people to not to waste water. So people that, for instance, when they go and wash their car on their driveway, it's fine, right? But don't leave the tap running while you're doing it. Same with things like brushing your teeth. It's good to brush your teeth and use a bit of water, but you don't need to leave the tap running. When you're buying water efficient washing machines and dishwashers, and all those sort of things, taking shorter showers, these are all things that actually take stress off the peak demand on the network, which means that we can reduce the amount of money we have to spend on expanding the network as our population grows.
Yeah, and that's the big thing at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah, we know that, you know, roughly for every dollar you spend on water meters, depending on how well you do the pricing and the communication around it, you can save between $3 and $5.
Wow.
Over 30 or 40 years. So, and it's just, you think about it, right? Because you get a power bill, most people go around switching lights off when they're not using them. They heat the room they're in as opposed to heating the whole house. Now, if you just, paid a flat rate every month, no matter how much you use, well, you know that people's behavior will, they won't switch things off. They'll heat the whole house. So putting a price on the infrastructure does encourage better use of the water resource. And I mean, we get people, they're quite hung up on this idea of, what if I'm in a block of flats and you only put one meter on the outside? I'm going to be subsidizing my neighbors. And look, there's about 1,000 properties out of 26,000 that they're putting these meters on. And the reality is, well, we haven't determined what the pricing will be for them. But we need the meters to be sitting on the footpath or in the road reserve, because we've got to have access to them at all times. But the other thing is, so to then, say you've got a block of six flats, but there's only one pipe going in there. So for us to put 6 meters in, we'd have to replumb the whole thing, which could potentially, instead of spending $1,500 to put the meter in, we could be spending $15,000. And then all of a sudden, for every dollar you spend, getting $5 back. Well, if you've spent $15,000 putting meters in these properties, so where there are multiple pipes leading into individual properties, and we can accommodate individual meters, we will. But the reality is, there'll be a large number of people that will all just share a meter, and we've got to work out what we do for them. But they've been subsidizing their neighbors forever, right? They've always paid the same, so potentially nothing will change. But we've got people arguing that, oh, this is patently unfair. And we said, well, we haven't actually come up with pricing, but, you know, potentially you'll just pay the average, or potentially we will average the water consumption across your six people in your flats. And that's no different to what you've had up until now. Mm-hmm. But you know, to argue that because of that, we just shouldn't do the whole thing and it's not fair. Well, it is fair. And it's just that there is, as I say, there's no point spending $20,000 on plumbing on private property to achieve the benefit that we were trying to achieve. And we'll get most of the benefit from the other 25,000 properties.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so consultation for that closes next Monday, doesn't it?
Yep. Yeah, I think it should be all done and dusted this month. And I think we'll probably have some hearings in July for that as well, and then to make some recommendations from there.
Awesome. Wonderful. I look forward to hearing about that next time we chat then. So we've only got a few minutes left today, so I want to jump straight to, have you made your decision about whether you'll be standing for council or in the mayoralty?
Oh, that one. You're not the first person that's asked me that in the last few weeks. No, I haven't made any decisions. Melissa and I are going to go away in July for a long weekend, nice. And we'll have a chat and we'll let everybody know. I think the last day to get your paperwork in is the 1st of August. Yeah. So we're only in June now. So there's no rush for these things. I know some other people were out there. I read an article in the paper today saying that there's a lot of campaigning going on. I think that's great.
Yes, yeah.
You know, my focus is very much on doing the job that I'm here to do for now, and we'll make those decisions when the time comes. And I'm no doubt that the community will have plenty of good choices when they get to voting, which is, again, quite a way off. It's sort of been... I think the election result was due to be out on about the 12th of October. So, you know, the election proper kind of takes place late September and early October.
Mm-hmm. And I'm pleased to see or to hear you're taking your wife away for a weekend to talk about that. You know what they say, happy wife, happy life.
Yes, indeed. and, you know, Melissa and I are partners in all this stuff. So
that's right.
We do everything together. So it's important that we make big decisions together.
Exactly. I like that. Well, thank you very much for talking to us today, Neil. You've been a pleasure as always. And I look forward to chatting to you in 4 weeks' time when maybe you'll have an answer for me about the elections. Oh, enjoy Matariki or Puanga and take care.
Great. You have an awesome day.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.